welcome to your final review class. And again, great work on coming this far. You guys already know that our last review class of the week will be about writing classes, okay? So let's take a look at our first sentence and see what we can remember from it. Remember to also close the presentation on a high note. I know you did very well in your tasks, so make use of that. Let the bosses know that you've succeeded despite having joined us not very long ago. So let's read again. Remember to also close the presentation on a high note. I know you did very well in your tasks, so make use of that. Let the bosses know that you've succeeded despite having joined us not very long ago. So the first thing in this sentence is that little on a high note. Now this is being used here with the verb close, but we can use it with other verbs, always indicating on a good mood or showing something positive, okay? So I can say begin on a high note. I can say close on a high note or finish on a high note. We usually use finish when we're referring to activities. So maybe if we were creating something, producing something manual, and I want to finish in a positive way, I would use the word finish because I'm talking about an activity. Okay, so begin on a high note, finish on a high note, start on a high note. So all these verbs are possible with on a high note. Okay, and we can change it to on a sad note, but this is usually when you are talking about something that you saw and not something that you want to do. So you could say that movie ended on a sad note. So maybe the last scene was very sad, the last dialogue was very sad, okay? So we can change this expression a little bit. We can change what verb we use with it, and we can use high or sad or happy note, okay? And the next thing in this sentence is a very simple expression, which is make use of. This is very simple. It means what it looks like. It just means to use well, use wisely, use like consciously. Know that you have something positive and make good use of it, okay? So you can say you should always make use of your extroversion. So maybe you know that someone is very sociable and talks easily with other people. You can say you should always make use of your extroversion. So make use of your qualities and what you have, okay? So this expression is very simple but comes in handy. And the next thing here is just a little detail of the sentence, which is that part there. Let the bosses know that you've succeeded. So when we're talking about recent results, we will use present perfect, okay? So let everyone know that we've reached all our goals, okay? Things like that. So a recent result that is still affecting us in the present, we're going to use present perfect, okay? So let everyone know that we've reached all our goals. Let the bosses know that we've succeeded. Don't forget that we've done very well. So it's not only with let people know. So remember how well, to what extent we've done this. Okay, so remember how well we've done this. I'm talking about a recent result, something that is affecting us now, so I'm going to use present perfect, okay? The final detail of this sentence is that we have despite, okay? So despite has the same meaning as in spite of, all right? And this is used when we're connecting two contrasting ideas. And after despite or in spite of, we will usually use a noun or a pronoun. So for example, if we have a verb after it, then we are going to use that verb in a noun form, which means we're going to use it with ing, all right? So despite not having, see, having, it's like a noun because we have ing. Despite not having a university degree, he is an amazing manager. So I have a noun after that. Despite not having a university degree, he is an amazing manager. So if we have a verb, we turn it into ing form and we can use another object, okay? So despite, let's do a really random sentence. The umbrella's quality, it broke during the storm. So So here, again, we're contrasting two ideas, something that you didn't expect due to the previous sentence. We use in spite of or despite of. Despite not having a university degree, he's an amazing manager. Or I could say, in spite of not having a university degree, he's an amazing manager. And the second sentence, despite the umbrella's quality, it broke during the storm. Or in spite of the umbrella's quality, it broke during the storm. It doesn't really matter which one you use, despite or in spite of, they have exactly the same meaning. And we have another conjunction that is similar, but it is used in a slightly different way, which is although and even though. Even though is a little more common, and especially in daily conversation, okay? But they're both used in the same way, which is before a verb or a subject, all right? So we could make the same sentence, but the order would be different, okay? Although he is an amazing manager. So here we have the subject right after although, okay? Although he is an amazing manager, he doesn't have a university degree. The meaning is the same, but I have to change the order of the sentence, all right? So although he's an amazing manager, he doesn't have a university degree, or even though he's an amazing manager, he doesn't have a university degree. And I could say the same sentence with the umbrella. The umbrella broke during the storm, even though I have the subject now, it was high quality. Okay, so I will probably use a verb or a subject right after although or even though, okay? Very well, so let's move on to our next sentence now from our next writing class. Let's read together. I will review the accounts as requested and I will send you my findings. I will also provide you with a liability report, but I don't expect it to have changed much in relation to last year's report. So let's read again. I will review the accounts as requested and I will send you my findings. I will also provide you with a liability report, but I don't expect it to have changed much in relation to last year's report. So let's remember that if you say you will do something, you are expressing that you are certain that you're going to do something, okay? You're kind of giving your word that you're going to do it, all right? So you can expect the other person to be sure that you will do it. If you say, I will review, for example, in this sentence, I will review the accounts, that means that the person is certain that they will do that, okay? I will review the accounts as requested. So if I say, she will show up tomorrow, it means that even though I'm not talking about myself, I'm certain about what she is going to do, okay? She will show up tomorrow. I'm expressing certainty, all right? And then we have as requested, which is something that we've seen before, and it just means according to what was requested, okay? So I can say, as you mentioned before, the results have improved. So I can use as before any kind of verb to refer to something that was mentioned or indicated in the past. And it means according to. As you mentioned before, as requested, as we talked, as was discussed, anything like that. We use as instead of according to, usually because it's shorter and the meaning is the same. Okay, so as you mentioned before, the results have improved. So I'm instead of saying, according to what you said before, the results have improved, okay? And the next thing in this sentence is something very interesting that happens when we have one of those verbs that refer to the future. For example, expect to. Even if I make a sentence in present tense with expect to, you can be sure that I'm actually talking about the future, right? So we can say, we expect to the new product by tomorrow. So even though the sentence is in present tense, I'm referring to the future because the verb expect to usually has that indication to the future. And plan to is also a verb like that. So we plan to see the new product by tomorrow. I'm referring to the future. And of course, we have will, we have going to. All of these refer to the future. But the interesting thing in this sentence is that we have, I don't expect it to have changed much, so I'm talking about the future, in relation to last year's report. Why do I have have here, okay? So when I add have after expect to, plan to, will, or going to, I have what we call future perfect. Future perfect is a way of saying that I expect something to be done before a point in the future, and I just have to add have to add that sense, okay? So on Friday, Friday is in the future, I will have delivered the outline. So in the past, from Friday, I will have done something, okay? So it's something that will happen before a certain point in the future. That's future perfect, okay? So let's see another example. I'm going to have done all the paperwork at 6 p.m. So I'm talking about a close, 6 p.m. I'm talking about a future that is not far, but if I add that have there, it means that something, what I'm indicating in the sentence, will have happened before that point, okay? So I'm going to have, I will have, I expect to have done. So because I have here as an auxiliary, the next verb will be in third form, okay? So gone or done or seen, okay? All those verbs in third form because I have as an auxiliary, okay? So that's it for the sentence. Let's move on. Let's read together. This one's long, so take a deep breath. Let's see. I never shied away from taking on new challenges, and I believe my success is due to working well under pressure and caring about my colleagues. That is why I believe I would be a great addition to your roster of mentors. I learned to lead by example and would be thrilled to share my experience with our new hires. Okay, so let's read again. I never shied away from taking on new challenges, and I believe my success is due to working well under pressure and caring about my colleagues. That is why I believe I would be a great addition to your roster of mentors. I learned to lead by example and would be thrilled to share my experience with our new hires. Okay, so that's a big one, but it's very rich in detail for us to learn and remember some new things, okay? So remember that shy away from. This means to avoid something, usually because you are afraid of what might happen, okay? So shy away from something that you avoid because of fear, usually, okay? So she always shies away from presentations. So maybe she has a role in the company where she should actually be doing presentations, but because she's scared of speaking in public, she shies away from those presentations and usually will probably ask someone else to do them. Okay, that's the sense of this expression, shy away from. And then we have one thing that we've seen before, which is due to, when you are going to give a reason for something. So he is staying home today due to the snow. So I'm giving the reason why something happened, all right? Very simple, we've seen this a lot. And then we have the pronunciation of pressure. Again, remember that we have that sh sound, okay? So pressure, you can exaggerate that sound and it's gonna sound okay. And caring about my colleagues. That is why I believe I would be a great addition to your roster. So here we have that is why, which is another way of expressing this idea of a reason or a justification for something, okay? So we could say the same sentence as before, but we usually use that's why before the actual result and not the justification. So he is staying home today due to the snow. If I was gonna use that is why, that's why, it would be it's snowing today. This is the reason. The reason comes first. And then the justification, then we use that's why he is staying home today. Okay, so first we have the reason and then we have the result. Okay, so it's snowing today, that's why he is staying home. We don't need the today again here. Okay, so when we use due to, I give the reason after due to, and when I use that's why, I give the reason before, okay? So he's staying home today due to the snow is the reason, and it's snowing today, that's the reason, that's why he's staying home, and then the consequence, okay? So even though they have that sense of giving justification, their use is different, all right? So here we have that's why, as a way of talking about justifications, okay? And then we have roster. So roster is a list of people who will do a certain job, and sometimes a roster includes times, okay? So a roster can simply be a list of people who will be part of a team or who will participate in a project. Or when we have a list with names, with the times where people will work, that is also called a roster, okay? So just a list of people or a list of who will work at what time. Both of these things are called rosters, okay? And the last thing in this sentence is this super interesting adjective, which is thrilled. Thrilled is very commonly used in formal or informal situations, but it expresses an emotion that is a little more intense than happy, okay? It's a mix of happy and excited. So it's more intense than happy and more intense than excited because it's both of these things together. So usually when you are thanking people for something and you are expressing that you are very, very happy to do something, very, very excited to do something, we use this adjective, thrilled, okay? Thrilled. So I'm thrilled to have this opportunity. Okay, so thrilled, it's very intense. So if you want to express a lot of gratitude, a lot of excitement, we can use this and it's going to sound great, okay? Thrilled. So this writing class is also about talking about your achievements. And again, I want to emphasize that it's very important for everyone to know how to talk about their achievements, okay? So not only when you are trying to get a new job or you are trying to get a promotion, or those kinds of things. Sometimes if you have to give a presentation in a different place, it's good to mention some achievements. Or sometimes when you are celebrating with your team, it's good to mention your achievements. So if you are not sure how to do that, I recommend that you write down some achievements that you're proud of and practice how to say them, okay? So that you, when you come by this kind of situation, you can talk about your achievements comfortably and you don't have to be really taking your time to be thinking about it, okay? It's very important to talk about your achievements and to be proud of your achievements, okay? So let's move on to our next sentence. Let's read together. We have had a fantastic run together, and now I feel it is time to pass on my duties and responsibilities to someone who's capable of leading such a talented, hardworking team. I'm happy to announce that my role will, starting next month, be taken over by our current sales manager, David Smith. Let's read again. We have had a fantastic run together, and now I feel it's time to pass on my duties and responsibilities to someone who's capable of leading such a talented, hardworking team. I'm happy to announce that my role will, starting next month, be taken over by our current sales manager, David Smith. Okay, again, we have a long sentence here, but let's just remember a few things. So here, run is being used as a noun to refer to a period of time. And this period of time usually involves a specific kind of work or activity, okay? So it can be any activity, for example, planning a new business. That planning period can be called a run, okay? So run is a period of time where you did a specific thing. So we had a fantastic run together. In this case, he's talking about all that period of time where they worked together, okay? We have had a fantastic run together. And here we are using present perfect again because it is something that is coming to an end now, but it started a long time ago, okay? So started in the past and is affecting us right now at the moment that we are having the conversation. And now I feel it is time to pass on my duties and responsibilities to someone who's capable of leading such a talented, hardworking team. So here we have capable of. Capable is an adjective that always comes with of before we say before we continue the sentence, okay? So we could say Joe is capable of planning this project, okay? So before I say what a person is capable of, I need to use of, okay? So always associate that adjective with the word of. All right, let's see another one. Everyone is capable of learning new languages, for example. Okay, so because we have of and it's a different preposition from to, the next verb will be an ing form. Okay, so Joe is capable of planning this project. Everyone is capable of learning new languages. Okay, so capable of and then verb with ing. All right, let's see the next part of the sentence. The next thing that we are going to see is such. So when we have such a before an adjective, I'm talking about the extent of that characteristic, okay? So such a talented, hardworking team, I'm saying that I'm talking about the extent of their talent and hard work, okay? So you can say, I've never had such a high quality computer. So you are talking about the extent of your computer's quality, okay? Such a. It is used for you to emphasize the extent of that quality or adjective that you are talking about after it, okay? I've never had such a high quality computer. So the extent of that quality is something I've never had before, okay? So it's an interesting little pair of words. Such a and then an adjective, okay? So another example would be he hasn't worked in such a competitive environment before. Competitive to a certain extent, okay? And the last thing in this sentence is that phrasal verb. So I'm happy to announce that my role will, starting next month, be taken over by our current sales manager. That's the next thing. So take over just means when you take the responsibility, okay? So it's very simple. We've also talked about this one before. So take responsibility. So I could say Anna will take over. She will be in control while I'm on vacation. Okay, so when you are talking about who will be responsible for a certain thing during a period of time or from a moment forward, you can say take over. So Anna will take over while I'm on vacation. Anna will be responsible while I'm on vacation, okay? And then to finish this sentence, we have the word current. So current, when we translate this word to Portuguese, we get a false cognate, okay, in English. So current means something that is now active or now effective, okay? So something that is now. But we have the false cognate, which is actual, okay? But actual is a false cognate because it doesn't have anything to do with something that is happening now. It's actually related to something that is in reality the truth, okay? So when someone gives you an information or says something that isn't correct and you want to correct a certain detail of that person's sentence, we use actual, okay? Or if you want to emphasize what in reality is in that position, for example. So we could say, Joe is our actual boss. So maybe during the conversation, somebody said, Anna is expecting huge things from us, for example. So you're having a discussion at work. Anna is expecting huge things from us. And then you say, but Anna, that's not her place to expect things for us because Joe is our actual boss. So in reality, our boss is Joe and not Anna, okay? So in these cases, we use actual to correct someone or to emphasize what in reality is the truth, okay? And actual is an adjective and we have actually, which is an adverb. And it usually comes before the sentence. So I could say actually, so I'm correcting the person that spoke before. Joe is our boss. So I wouldn't need actual in this case. Or I can use actually after verb to be. Joe is actually our boss. Okay, so both of these words, actual and actually, will be used to correct maybe an incorrect information that we had before. Okay, so be careful with these false cognates. This one is one of the most common mistakes that we make as Portuguese-speaking natives because of that sense with our word in Portuguese, okay? So now let's go to our final sentence of today's class. So let's read it together. We discussed some of his ideas for the near future, and knowing how exciting the next years are certainly going to be almost makes me wish I could stay a little longer with you all. Let's read again. We discussed some of his ideas for the near future, and knowing how exciting the next years are certainly going to be almost makes me wish I could stay a little longer with you all. Very good. So the main thing that we are going to look at in this sentence is that we have make here in a sense of cause a feeling or cause an action, okay? So in this case, we're talking about a feeling. So he's saying, knowing how exciting the next years are certainly going to be almost makes me wish, causes me to have this feeling, makes me wish I could stay a little longer. So let's see how we use make as something that causes a feeling, okay? So for example, that project made me feel more confident. So it caused a feeling in me. Or the new coffee machine makes everyone gather in the kitchen. So maybe you have a new machine in the kitchen of in the office, and then you can say the new coffee machine makes, or it means causes, everyone to gather in the kitchen. Okay, so the new coffee machine makes everyone gather in the kitchen. And in this case, even though we have two verbs, make and gather, because make here is a causative, it's an action that's causing another action, we don't need to connect these two verbs, okay? We don't need anything to connect these two verbs. So the new coffee machine makes everyone gather in the kitchen. We have two verbs, but we don't need anything to put them together, okay? And we also have I wish I could. So I wish is when we use when there is something that you want, but is probably impossible or very unlikely to happen, okay? So we use I wish with I could, because we're talking about something that is improbable. I wish I could, or I wish I would, or I wish I were. So remember that when we have if or I wish, we use were as verb to be in the past, okay? So if I were the manager, I would tell everyone to take the day off. For example, if I were the manager, but I'm not and it's impossible for me to be, if I were the manager, I would tell everyone to take the day off. Or you can say, if I were the manager, I would tell everyone to take the day off. Or I wish I were, again, something impossible, I wish I were the manager so I could. Here we are using so to introduce the consequence, okay? So I wish I were the manager so I could tell everyone to take the day off. The same sentence as before, okay? So if I were the manager, I would tell everyone to take the day off. Or I wish I were the manager so I could tell everyone, okay? So we use I wish with I could, I would, and I were. And this is also valid for she, he, or it, okay? So if she were the manager, she would tell everyone to take the days off. So this is a specific thing when we're talking about something impossible that we wish were true, but is not, okay? And if you guys think that it's correct to say I was, you are right, but this is an exception, okay? This is a kind of weird exception that we have in English when we're talking about impossible or improbable things, okay? We don't say I was, we say I were, and we don't say she was, so this is the correct way. We actually say she were, okay? If she were, she wishes she were, because we're talking about impossible things, okay? So that's it for our last sentence for our final class. So just to finish, I want to say that it was an honor to share this time with you, and that us teachers, we are all very proud of everything that you've achieved, and you should be proud of yourself as well. You can add this journey, this long and maybe not so easy journey to your list of achievements, okay? This is an amazing thing that you've done, coming this far and learning all these things and searching for your improvement, you know? And remember that learning languages is an infinite process, so never stop learning. Teachers are always learning. Students will continue learning forever. Everyone is a student, actually. But, you know, it's a long and infinite journey. And I hope that you felt that you grew while you were here with us and that you've achieved something great, because you have, okay? So that was our last sentence, our last little things for us to remember. And remember that you will still have access to the community and you will still be able to ask your questions until you complete 2 years of being here with us, okay? So it was an honor, and I wish you all the best things in the world. So that's it. We'll see you around. I wish you all the best. Bye.